TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. TCL, America's fastest growing TV brand. It's raised by wolves.
And on the day that KD and Kyrie goes to Brooklyn, on the day that even Jimmy Butler went to Miami, on the day that Klay Thompson stays in Golden State, okay? And Kemba Walker goes to Boston, the New York Knicks announced we have Julius Randle and Bobby Portis. And if I forget anybody else, forgive me. I'm just emotional right now. I'm just, like I told Rachel Nichols and them, we were laughing at me yesterday. I said, y'all couldn't have waited a day. Y'all, I mean, you would think, could you at least just wait?
That is ESPN's Stephen A. Smith after yesterday's free agent frenzy in the NBA. I'm Danny Cunningham. That's Manny Hill. You hear laughing at Stephen A. Smith. And
oh, man.
He's freaking out because the New York Knicks struck out yesterday in free agency. The long-standing thought was that they were going to be players for both Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant. Turns out that they land neither, as both of them do head to New York. However, they're going to be playing for the Nets instead of the Knicks. The big story Brooklyn stand up, exactly. The big story here in Minneapolis is that D'Angelo Russell is going to go play for the Golden State Warriors. That broke after Manny and I got off the air last night. If you want to listen back to what we had, you can find the Raised by Wolves NBA free agency special in the Pod Center on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Just search Raised by Wolves or find it on the Score North app or scorenorth.com. So, Manny, yesterday was a rough day for the Wolves because they lost out on D'Angelo Russell. He was the biggest prize that they were going to go after. He was plan A. A lot of whatever could have been plan B is now off the market. Yesterday was a huge day. We saw over $3 billion in American money doled out to players yesterday. Just an absurd amount of money was given out to everybody. Yes.
Wait a minute. $3 billion?
$3 billion plus. Yes. A lot
My
of money.
God.
Was handed out as part of contracts. And the contracts are still coming in. According to the New York Times, Maxi Kleber just agreed to a 4-year, $35 million deal with the Dallas Mavericks. That's according to Mark Stein in the New York Times.
I just saw that. Yeah.
So yeah, the deals are still coming in. It was an absolute frenzy yesterday and the Wolves lost out. There's no other way to put it. The Wolves had their guy in D'Angelo Russell. They met with him, and it didn't go as planned. Now, he did have to pick the Golden State Warriors, and that's what happened. He picked Golden State. That's where he's going to be. He signed a 4-year, $117 million contract that's going to be a sign-and-trade with the Brooklyn Nets. Now, I'm curious what led him to pick the Nets, or what led him to pick the Warriors, excuse me. What led him away from the Minnesota Timberwolves? Because it was presumed that that was his first option. Karl-Anthony Towns and he are really close friends. They've wanted to play together since high school. This could have been the opportunity. I don't know where it went wrong. And that's kind of where I'm searching for answers today, Manny.
Yeah, I mean, and I guess on the surface, you can look at it and say, you know, if you had a choice between the Wolves and the Warriors, you know, playing with, you know, I guess, you know, Jeff Teague, depending on if he would have been involved in a deal going out, you know, Jeff Teague and Andrew Wiggins, you know, if you had a choice between playing with those guys versus Steph Curry and Draymond Green, of course, on the surface, you'd think, okay, yeah, it's an easy answer. You play for Golden State.
Sure.
But like you said, I mean, with him having the relationship with Kat that he does, like they're really close friends. They've known each other since high school. And for the Wolves to be at the top of the list, I wonder if he went into this situation not even thinking about the Golden State Warriors, and then they just sort of swooped in at the last second, and he was like, wow, okay, well, maybe this is an opportunity I can't pass up, playing for the Golden State Warriors.
Very
I don't know,
well,
it's really
have,
odd.
That
it's
could
really
have been
odd.
What happened. It certainly could have. And I don't know about the basketball fit there. I don't think it's the greatest thing in the world, because I think that Steph Curry is still going to be the ball-dominant force that he is.
Yeah.
And when Klay Thompson comes back, what's that going to mean for D'Angelo Russell? I think more than anything, D'Angelo Russell becomes an asset for them, especially now as they're a team that's hard-capped. They can't go over the $137 million line, I believe, is what it is for a hard cap. So they're going to be struggling for depth, and maybe at some point they flip him for other pieces. And maybe the Wolves are involved then if that does happen in the future. But I find it hard to believe that D'Angelo Russell is going to spend all 4 years of that contract in Golden State. Maybe he does, and maybe I'm wrong. But as of right now, I just don't think that's the case.
It does kind of have the feel of like they're bringing him in to sort of be kind of a stopgap off guard. I mean, he's certainly not the same type of player that Klay Thompson is, certainly not the same caliber of player Klay Thompson is, but I guess you just figure, okay, he'll be this sort of stopgap second guard for Steph Curry, and then when Klay comes back, you know, maybe they'll play together, you know, when Klay comes back late in the season, and then in the summer, next summer, they look to move him to a place where he can be featured more, but it'll be interesting. We said it on Cluster Fun this morning. It kind of reminds me of that same dynamic that the Warriors had when it was Steph Curry and Monte Ellis back in the early parts of this decade. And the Warriors eventually at that time had to make a choice between those guys. And obviously they made the right one by trading Monte Ellis away to, I think it was Milwaukee, and they got Andrew Bogut instead. It seems like a similar type of situation. Obviously, Steph has taken his game to another level since then.
Yeah,
obviously. And he's clear-cut the better guy, obviously. But, yeah, it's a very interesting situation. I'll be curious to see how the Warriors sort of let this thing play out.
And I'm more so curious, what's next for the Wolves? Because it's pretty clear that this was plan A. They wanted D'Angelo Russell to pair him with Karl Anthony Towns. It made sense on paper. I think it would have made sense on the court. I don't know that I view D'Angelo Russell as a max level guy, but if that's what it takes to get another all-star in here, you have to absolutely do it. And the Wolves try. I don't know where they go now. I assume that this means the likelihood of Tyus Jones returning went up. Derrick Rose already gone. He's going to sign with the Detroit Pistons. Taj Gibson left for the New York Knicks.
Yep.
This team's going to look different. I don't know how different it's going to look, and I'm not 100% sure of what direction they're going to head in next. And that does fascinate me to an extent, but on the other side of that coin, they don't exactly have a ton of options. They're already capped out. They would have had to make a couple of maneuvers to get D'Angelo Russell in terms of trading to shed some salary and stuff like that. So that would have gotten things a little bit more complicated, but I'm just not sure where they head from here, Manny.
Yeah, and now it looks like with them missing out on D'Angelo Russell, now it looks like it's probably more likely than not that Jeff Teague is going to stay on this roster, maybe at least going into the season. Now, I mean, if they find another deal for him maybe later on this summer, that's certainly a possibility. But if you do that, you still got to go find another point guard anyway. And I don't know what the options are out there right now, especially with, you know, Ricky Rubio's off the market. He got paid a lot of money.
He got a lot more money than
he should have.
A 3-year, $51 million contract from the Phoenix Suns. And there were a lot of contracts that were handed out yesterday that I think we could be questioning in a couple of years.
Yeah. And, you know, and then another guy that could have maybe made a been a backup option if you decided to ship Jeff Teague out of town was Darren Collison, but he retired last week. So their options are going to be kind of limited, and it right now it looks like we're going to be looking at the same or at least a very similar backcourt going into next season, at least, that we saw last year.
Yeah, and I'm just curious what the rest of the roster is going to look like. This is going to be a very young team again, but they don't have a lot of financial flexibility, and that's not necessarily a good combination. When you are young, you want to have that financial flexibility, and the Wolves don't have it at the time, at this moment. They just don't. Andrew Wiggins is locked up for another four years. Gorgui Dieng's locked up for another 2 years. The Jeff Teague contract becomes less and less of an issue with every day that passes by, because you're another day closer to being an end, and he is a free agent at the end of this next season. So that's really a non-issue at this point, but it's... I just don't know what's next. I don't know how they improve this team. I don't know what the ceiling for this team is, because now you don't have that number two next to Karl Anthony Towns. Mm-hmm. D'Angelo Russell would have been a great fit for that, but you don't have it. Andrew Wiggins has not been that throughout his career. Maybe he turns it around. Maybe he finally gets it figured out. We don't know. There have not been encouraging signs to say that he will. And who knows? After this whole situation plays out, where it's clear that they wanted someone to upgrade over him.
Yeah.
Maybe that just doesn't sit well with him. We don't know.
And maybe now at this point, I mean, they still have the mid-level that they can go out and maybe get a guy or two if they want to split that $9.2 million.
But who's even left?
But who's left? Exactly. So many guys are already off the board. And now you're probably presented with a situation where you've got to just hope guys improve internally. You got to hope Andrew Wiggins gets better. You have to hope Josh Okogie makes strides. You have to hope Jared Culver is an impactful player as a rookie.
And he's the X factor. Jared Culver's the X factor here, because he was the number 6 overall pick in last month's draft. Last month's draft. It's now July 1st.
It is, yeah.
Happy first of the month. Make sure your rent checks are in. He was the number 6 pick in last month's draft. if he can turn into an all-star caliber player, it drastically changes the way that this team can be looked at. But until that happens, it's hard for me to really view them as a team that's really on the rise. I think they've got a lot of the right people in place, and I do think that Gerson Rosas is smart. He's going to be aggressive. He's going to put things in the right direction. I just don't know how many levers he has to pull right now. And a lot of that's because the way Tom Thibodeau ran things in the previous regime, mm-hmm. it really hurt this team, and I think that that was really evident yesterday.
Yeah, and I know that looking at the sort of the swing and miss on D'Angelo Russell, I know that's it's a gut punch, and if people want to call in and vent about it, please feel free, 651-646-8255.
Yes, this I is understand a safe space.
It. Yeah, it is a safe space. I'll admit, like, last night, I went, you know, when we went off the air last night at 7 o'clock, I went out to Mystic Lake Casino to watch the Roots perform, and it was a great show. It was fantastic.
I'm glad you enjoyed yourself, Manny.
Yes, and I'm going to keep rubbing that in your face because it was fantastic.
I mean, I'm fine. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
But no, it was a great time. And then, like, towards the end of the show, you know, and throughout the night, I'm checking my phone to see, you know, all the different signings. And we're seeing all this stuff, all the Woj bombs and everything. And by near the end of the show, I saw the news that the Warriors were closing in on a deal for D'Angelo Russell. And it put a damper. It did really put a damper. Because I just
It came as a shock to me.
Yes, it came in from left field. And I was disappointed. As I mean, I'm still kind of a fan, but I can handle when the team doesn't do well. I've been used to that for 30 years now anyway.
Sure.
But it was kind of a gut punch because I think it would have been certainly an exciting time. I think professionally for us, it would have been something big for the Wolves to do. It would have been great.
The team would have looked like, I don't want to say a contender because the West is really tough, but they would have looked like a team that was going to be competing for a playoff spot. And I don't think that you can necessarily say that about them right now as constructed. I do think that this team is, they're not a bad team. They're not mm-hmm. a team that's going to win 17 games. They're not going to be what the New York Knicks were this past season. But they're also not
what
going
the to... the Knicks might be again this year.
Will likely be, yeah. Although
they've gotten better.
They've done some things that aren't, like, worthy of making fun of. I don't think I would have given Julius Randle $21 million a year, but getting Taj Gibson at that price isn't mm-hmm. bad. He's going to help.
Yep.
Getting Wayne Ellington's not a bad move. I don't know that I like them signing three power forwards when their best player is a big man in Mitchell Robinson, but
play and, Taj at the three. Like, what are they going to do?
They, I don't totally understand it, but it's something. They're not going to be the Knicks. They're not going to be a team that goes 17-65 or whatever they went. They're not going to be that bad, but they're also, it's hard for me to see this team getting above 45 wins. Karl-Anthony Towns is a great player, but he doesn't have the necessary support right now to get a team that good. He can't carry a team by himself in this absolutely loaded, albeit wide open, but loaded Western Conference to 45, 46, 47 wins. And if you're not approaching 50 wins in the West this year, I don't know how you sniff a playoff spot.
Right now, Robert Covington is their second best player.
I mean, he was their second best player prior to. He's been their second best player really since he was acquired.
Right. And you and I, we are both big fans of Robert Covington, what he brings to the table. But if he is, all due respect to him, if he is your second best player, you're not good enough.
No.
You're not good enough. And they needed to find somebody to sort of surpass Robert Covington as the next best player on the team outside of Karl-Anthony Towns, and they don't have that now. So now, in this Western Conference, I mean, it's hard to really look at this team and say that they're really going to contend for a playoff spot. It's just hard when you look at the way their current situation. And D'Lo would have helped tremendously.
And that makes me wonder what the best option even is at this point. I'm not going to come out here and say, oh, they should just look to sell everybody, because now I actually think I have pivoted to, I think that they should keep this team together right now as constructed. Mm-hmm. If you're not going to be good and if you don't have an avenue to improve, it doesn't make sense to unload Andrew Wiggins. If he can figure out here, let him figure it out here. If he doesn't, it's another year off that contract and it becomes easier to move next summer. Don't give up a first round pick to try and move him because you don't have anything that's going to actively make you better at this point by doing so, you know?
Right.
You have to have a plan in place. Like if they had to get off a first round pick to move Andrew Wiggins in order to bring in D'Angelo Russell, you do it 10 out of 10 times.
Mm-hmm.
But just getting off of Andrew Wiggins' contract to get off Andrew Wiggins' contract doesn't make sense to me anymore. Now you let him play. You let this play out and you see what you have. I don't think it'll be good enough for the playoffs right now, but I do think that it's something that it's a interesting question. And according to The Athletic right now, Enes Kanter has agreed to a deal with the Boston Celtics.
Okay.
But where does this team go from here? What's the next step?
Well, I think you hit on it, though. I think you just, with Wiggins in particular, you have to just sort of ride it out with him going into next year. And the contract is going to get shorter day by day. And you have to hope that, you know, maybe he gets better. If he shows even a little bit of improvement, it's not the worst thing in the world. It can only help you in case you want to try and move him next year. If he shows a little bit of improvement, you get to this point next year, it'll be easier to move him because the contract will be shorter and he will have shown some signs of improvement that may make him a little bit more enticing to somebody who may want to trade for him.
Yeah, that's what the hope has to be, I think, at this point for the Wolves, because I don't want to call next season a lost season. I truly don't believe it's going to be that, but it's difficult for me to formulate a way for this team to find its way back into the playoffs after missing this year.
It seems like this coming season is going to be a let's find out what we have and what we can do long term. And it's tough because we've talked about this several times. The clock is ticking on Karl-Anthony Towns.
Well, yesterday is a day if things don't go well over these next 5 years and Carl begins a 5-year contract that actually kicks in today. Like today is the first day of his 5-year contract. There's still a long time to go, but every moment does count. And as we get further and further along, the moments start to matter more and more. Yesterday was a moment that would have been the best possible way to start off his 5-year deal. You could not have planned it better than that, but it falling through really hurts. It might not hurt that bad right now, but there's a chance that it hurts big time in the future.
And if it's one of those things where if you have this sort of gut punch yesterday, if you would have gotten D'Angelo Russell and along the way, the next 3 years, you had a hiccup or two that maybe didn't go your way or a pursuit of a player that didn't go your way, you would have been able to, I think, maybe absorb that disappointment a little bit better because it's like, in the case of Cat, it's like, okay, well, we still got Cat's guy here.
Yeah.
So that still helps. But now you didn't get that. You swung and missed on that. Now it just puts more of an emphasis on making the right moves over the next couple of years, because if you keep swinging and missing, and I understand this front office is going to be aggressive and I believe in this front office.
And but if you keep getting swinging, to that point yesterday was an aggressive thing.
Yes. And that's, I think it's a good sign. The fact that they were in the conversation to try and get somebody like D'Angelo Russell is a good sign. But if the swings and misses keep piling up over the next couple of years, eventually, Karl-Anthony Towns is going to look around and say, what the hell?
You're right.
What the hell are we doing?
There wasn't necessarily a ton of pressure on the Wolves to get that done, because at some point, there will be another opportunity for them to make a splash. Another chance will come around. But because it didn't get done yesterday, the pressure's going to mount. There's going to be more of an emphasis on on not letting the next opportunity slip through their fingers. And I'm not saying that it was their fault it didn't go well yesterday, because we don't know that. But the next time something like this comes up, there's more pressure on it to get done.
Yep, 100% agree.
All right, we're going to be joined by the Pioneer Press's Jace Frederick next segment. He's going to join us to talk about the Wolves missing out on D'Angelo Russell, going to ask him about some of his favorite things from across the league. And later in the show, if we can, we'll get to your call, 651-646-8255. If you do want to vent about the Wolves missing out on D'Angelo Russell and what's next in Minnesota, this is Raised by Wolves here on Score North 1500 AM or the all-new Score North app.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's hard to do the floss-wearing snow pants, but that's how we feel about Minnesota sports. It makes us want to do that. We know you get it. ScoreNorth.com.
It is Raised by Wolves. Danny Cunningham, Manny Hill taking you up until 2 o'clock here on Score North. Now we bring in Jace Frederick of the Pioneer Press and, more notably, a teammate of mine in our men's league basketball league. Jace, how are you doing?
That's actually how I introduce myself now, is a teammate of Danny Cunningham in rec league men's basketball level.
I couldn't decide if I wanted to call you a teammate, an expert rebounder, a three-point sniper. I couldn't figure out which direction I wanted to go. Well,
I bring so many different things to the court that it's kind of hard to pick and choose between them, you know?
You're spot on.
Are you the glue guy of the group, Jace? Are you the glue guy?
Yeah, is that usually kind of what you call the worst player?
Here's the thing, you're not the worst player.
Yeah, I know, and that's the sad part, and that's why our team's not very good.
Although I will say, and this is purely coincidence, you have missed one game.
No.
And we have won one game. I'm not saying that we won because you weren't there. All I'm saying is that when you're not there, we haven't lost.
Yeah, are you guys better without Jace Frederick?
I'm not saying that, Manny. I'm not saying that.
I was pretty sick the last game last week, but I looked at the schedule and saw that the team that we played looked pretty terrible. So I actually was nervous about missing it for this reason only, and I was like, man, we're probably going to win. It's going to look bad that I missed, that I was there for the loss and missed the win. Like, that's, I don't know.
I mean,
it was a bad decision on my part.
I am only talking about facts here, Jason, and that is what it is. I do know that the Minnesota Timberwolves are not better off without D'Angelo Russell, but that's going to be the case. What do you make of them losing out on their plan A free agent?
Yeah, I think it's a tough blow for them. I don't necessarily think that they did anything wrong. I mean, if you have a chance to get a guy like an all-star level player, then you have to go for it. It sounds like, you know, they kind of put all their resources behind it and they made a solid pitch and set the runner up, and it's a tough break. When Golden State unexpectedly comes in swinging late, it's kind of hard to anticipate that and for it. It's hard to beat it. Golden State's obviously kind of like the gold level franchise right now in the NBA, so it's difficult. It's a tough loss in competition. It's tough because you don't really have a backup plan. It just kind of is what it is. I don't know if they'll get another opportunity like this anytime soon, and it just didn't work out for them. It's a tough break for a franchise that kind of needed something to go their way.
What is the backup plan, do we think? Because that's where I'm struggling to go, is I don't know what's next for this team. I don't know where they go from here. It seems like all of their eggs were in the D'Angelo Russell basket.
Yeah, and that's where it's tough when you're like Minnesota, because it's not like these free agents are just lining up, you know, to come like visit you and think about playing for you, especially like the all-star level players. But D'Angelo Russell, they kind of had the connection there with Towns and everything. Like, it just made sense. But when that doesn't work out, you know, there really aren't plans B and C and D. It's not like you're the Lakers where you have 10 different guys you can pick up. I think it's going to be now kind of like where the roster is maybe going to get tinkered with or blown up a little bit to make room for Russell. Had he signed here, then I think probably a little bit more likely to just kind of stay the course. And I think now the roster is probably going to look a little bit more similar to what we saw last year versus what it would have been had Russell decided to come aboard.
At least, though, Jace, it seems like it's a good sign that this front office is trying to be aggressive, right? Like, I mean, they're obviously, you know, swinging and missing on D'Lo is a huge gut punch. But the fact that they were in that conversation and trying almost relentlessly to try and get him to come here has to be a good sign that this front office is going to try things and not just sort of sit back on their sort of old school principles like the last regime was kind of prone to do.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think the Timberwolves have to be aggressive at almost every step, at almost every opportunity to improve the roster, because the way it is now, like, they're not good enough to compete for anything, really. I mean, I don't even think they're going to have to really compete for a playoff spot as currently constructed, and that's with already having basically no cap space. You have to be creative. You have to, like, find different ways to, if you think you have any inkling that you can go get an all-star level type player, especially a perimeter player to play alongside Towns, then you have to do it. That's why I don't even really think Tom Thibodeau was still wrong when he traded for Jimmy Butler, because it was a worthwhile swing. Like, it's one thing to have, like, an all-star level big man, but if you don't have a perimeter player who is as good, if not better, than Towns, well, then you're not going to compete for anything. So you consistently have to be looking for ways to add that second star, that guy who can kind of be your outside scoring threat. And I kind of don't think that there's a thing that would be going over the top to get that player, because until you have that player, then what are you going to win? Like, the right spot in the West, but you have to continually try to take these types of swings, because unless you're just going to plan on sitting and waiting and praying that Andrew Wiggins makes that jump that I think all of us have been waiting years for, then you're kind of stuck right now in neutral in a really tough spot.
Jace Frederick covers the Wolves for the Pioneer Press. Jace, do you think that just trying to run it back and hoping that maybe Andrew Wiggins does improve or something of the matter like that and then try and make another splash next summer is the best option at this point?
Yeah, just in the sense that, like, I mean, you're probably paying to get off of any contracts right now. And if you're doing that, like if you're having to trade picks to get rid of contracts and there's nobody to fill that space that you'd be getting rid of, well, then kind of what's the point? I think you just maybe do just kind of run it back, maybe develop, work on certain areas. Maybe you can get something out of Andrew Wiggins, with this new coaching staff. I think it's worth a try because now if you're trading picks or anything to get off of Wiggins and you're not getting much back, and now you're just creating space for what until you can use it next summer. It's kind of like, what's the point? And I kind of feel that way about Teague, too. I mean, at this point, you might as well just let him play out the last year and let it expire versus maybe giving up something to create to get him off the books right now, which wouldn't really serve much of a purpose. There are no, like, splash free agents left in the market besides Kawhi Leonard, who I don't think has come here.
I don't think the Wolves are on his list.
So I just think that maybe makes the most sense right now. Now, if you can come up with a trade where you actually do get a nice player back while trading like an Andrew Wiggins or like a Jeff Teague, and maybe you throw in a pick with one of those guys, then great, go for it. But unless you're bringing something back in the deal of value, then I kind of don't think it makes a ton of sense right now to do anything too big anymore.
Do you think that we're going to see Tyus Jones returning? He's restricted, and it probably makes the most sense to let him play as much as possible at this point.
Yeah, and I think there's been kind of optimism in Jones' camp that something would work out. And to be honest, the market's kind of shaping up oddly because so many point guards are already off the board here in day one, and a lot of teams that needed point guards have kind of filled those needs. So I'm a little interested to see what the market is going to be here for Jones moving forward, like how many teams are still around that are maybe willing to step up and sign into an offer sheet. He might just have to come together and work out a deal with Minnesota at this point, which could really benefit the Timberwolves. There were a lot of teams that needed point guards, but most of those teams have since kind of filled those voids. So I think it's kind of an interesting spot right now in the market for Tyus.
Well, I guess if there's one positive thing for this team is that they still have their mid-level exception. What's your sense on, how active they'll be in trying to use that to maybe bring a couple of guys in or maybe one bigger guy?
Yeah, a lot of the guys who you look at and think like, okay, that's a guy who might make sense to use it a little bit bigger on. Maybe like there aren't that many of those guys left. I think splitting it up might make it a decent amount of sense right now. Just kind of trying to bolster that bench and make it a better unit. That might be kind of the way to go. I would have kind of been for like stretching it and maybe trying to use the 9+. I'd have maybe kind of bring in a shooter who could instantly come in and help you and play maybe 25 minutes a game. But a lot of those guys are drying up too. So at this point, I think you might want to be breaking it up and just kind of trying to build up the bench as best you can.
With over $3 billion in American dollars yesterday given out by teams to free agents, I want to know what's your least favorite contract that someone signed? Like, what player got way more money than they should have?
Ooh, well, I mean, I think the obvious one is Terry Rozier in Charlotte. That just kind of seemed like a panic move. I don't think Rozier's shown enough to say, like, hey, this guy can definitely be, like, your starting point guard and a staple of a team that's going to do anything in the future. And it looked like Charlotte, after moving on from Kemba, should have just gone into full rebuild tank mode. So I don't know why they're giving him all this money now to come in and, I don't know, maybe salvage a couple extra victories that you wouldn't seem to want. That just made no sense. It just replacing somebody like Kemba with somebody like Rozier is just taking a step backward, but not a big enough step backward, probably as to where you should have wanted to be. So I don't understand any aspect of that deal. And that is a lot of money to give somebody like that.
I know the big winner that everybody's talking about in free agency is obviously Brooklyn by getting KD and Kyrie and getting DeAndre Jordan too. But I thought New Orleans did really well by getting JJ Redick to come in, because him stepping in and spacing the floor, he's a veteran player. They're going to have to protect him on defense a little bit. But I think when you're a young team that's just trying to build something and grow, you can maybe sort of get away with that. But I think with J.J. Redick being a veteran guy, obviously a terrific shooter, he's going to be fun to watch with that team, I think.
Yeah, and I think we've seen now with veterans, like, some of them work with younger players and some don't. And JJ, as he showed in Philly, like, that worked. He played really well alongside Embiid and Simmons and seemed to kind of help those guys grow up a little bit. And they'll need that in New Orleans, especially, you know, with some of the young Lakers that they have coming in now and obviously playing with Zion. They need a veteran presence like that, somebody who maybe like helps kind of boost young guys up, helps them grow. And JJ's kind of proven he can help be that guy. And then you just add shooting to a roster that definitely needed it. And he's one of those sharpshooters who, you know, a lot of times you send guys who like come off the bench and play 15 minutes. And it's like, yeah, they can hit a couple threes, but if they're not on the court that much, then how much shooting, how much space does it really create? JJ is a guy who can play like 30 minutes a game on playing that starting lineup and just consistently be that shooting threat that kind of helps space the floor. So I think that was a tremendous pickup. What I'm interested to see, you talked about Brooklyn, like KD is probably not playing this year. So I'm really kind of interested to see how that roster looks, how they play with Kyrie. Like, will he kind of mess up the flow a little bit with what they had going on? I'm interested to see exactly how good Brooklyn is this next season, because I don't think many of us expect KD to come back, or if he does, to at least have a very big impact this next year. So just like throwing Kyrie into that group, I'm pretty interested to see how they look. I don't think it'll be that smooth of a season, I guess, at least right now.
Well, Kyrie's one of the most fascinating guys in the NBA. I think we can all agree on that. In one way or another, he's a very fascinating player. Do want to ask you about Utah, because I really like what the Jazz did, and I think that they could be a team that's a legitimate finals contender out west, which sounds crazy to say, but they had some really nice additions.
Yeah, I mean, you look at like their starting five, and it's, I mean, it could be great. You get Conley, Mitchell. Is Joe Ingles still probably going to start? I would assume so.
Maybe. I mean, they have options.
Right, exactly. We've got Bogdanovich, and obviously Rudy Gobert. That's a really nice mix of talent. It's the kind of like, they kind of have every basis covered as far as what they can do and like, no real any glaring weaknesses. It could be a dangerous team. What's interesting is in the playoffs, like we've seen this again and again, like stars win games, and they have a bunch of guys who are like fringe stars. So it'll be interesting to see like when they play another, you know, great team that maybe is led by like a two-headed monster, like the Lakers right now, we'll say, just with LeBron and AD, regardless of who else they add, like, will they, like, can Utah guys, can Mitchell, can Conley step up and kind of be the guy who can carry you, like, past a LeBron James-led team in the playoffs? That'll be really interesting to see, but it's kind of like five guys strong. Like, is that good enough to take you over, you know, like two top five players? It'll be interesting to see, but right now I love their roster. I think they'll be a ton of fun to watch. I definitely think they'll be a dominant regular season team, and then it'll be interesting to kind of see what they do in the playoffs.
What's your gut feeling on what one Kawhi Leonard is going to do?
I think he's going to go to the Lakers. I don't know why. It just seems like the Lakers have almost been held hostage by this decision because they have this max free agent slot, and the talk was, well, maybe you use that and break it up and spend it on other free agents as well. But, I mean, like, say Kawhi doesn't go there now. They just have all this money and a lot of the really good, like, contributing guys are off the board. So I don't know who they would even use that money on to kind of fill out the rest of their roster and best complement, like, AD and LeBron. So I don't know. I think just the fact that they've been sitting around doing nothing, maybe they're confident that they have Kawhi. And if they don't, though, they kind of might be in trouble because there aren't that many, like, players who can come in and instantly help you right now still on the board.
All right. Last thing, Jace. Jimmy Butler potentially going to Miami. That is just, everything about that is amazing to me because it's such a Pat Riley type of move, and it's almost giving Jimmy exactly what he would want, right? Like, Jimmy wants to get paid. Jimmy wants to be the number one guy. Jimmy wants to take a lot of shots, and it's South Beach. So it almost makes perfect sense for, you know, in terms of what Jimmy Butler wants and everything he wants to have in the rest of his career.
Yeah, I think he's going to be pretty happy there. Now, I do think that he's a guy who would want to contend for championships, but I do not think that's the most important thing to him. And obviously, going here, that'll be really tough sledding to try to make this team into any type of title contender. But they'll almost certainly still be a playoff team with Jimmy there. And, you know, there's enough talent around there to win some games, maybe threaten to, you know, make the playoffs and be a tough first round out, because Butler is a pretty strong playoff player. But you're right. I mean, like, that South Beach kind of has that, like, that kind of personality, enjoys that type of scene, gets to be the guy, and I do think that he enjoys that. I think you're right. I think he likes kind of being the guy who, like, sets the tone and kind of determines, like, hey, this is how we're going to do things as a team, and everybody follow me, and that is kind of what he wants. And he has a few years left in his career where he can still be that guy, and now he'll get to spend them in Miami. And you know what? Every summer when you have at least like one kind of star player like Butler and you are in Miami, then there's always a chance he could attract more in the next year or two to come. So right now, I mean, obviously this team, like maybe they're a fringe playoff team, but who knows what that could turn into here in these next 4 years. Like maybe Miami does, you know, lure another free agent and become like a title contender. I don't know. We'll see. But either way, I think Miami is a very good landing spot for Jimmy. I'm not surprised it ended up being Miami. I know Houston was trying to put together the packages for Butler, but Houston was not Jimmy Butler's preferred trade destination when he wanted out of Minnesota. So I didn't see him wanting to all of a sudden go to Houston then this summer. So I think Miami made a lot more sense there.
Jace, we do have to be honest here. Whatever Jimmy Butler does want, it's none of your business.
That's true. It's none of my business. I'll stay out of it.
Thanks for doing this, Jace. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Jace.
Appreciate it, guys. Have a good one.
Jace Frederick covers the Timberwolves for the Pioneer Press. Follow him on Twitter at Jace Frederick, also a three-point sniper and rebounding expert on my men's league team.
I forgot about that. None of your business
thing. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It Jace was. How could I not say that at that point?
Oh, yeah, of course. It was perfect. It was great.
It needed to be done. Manny and I are going to talk about some of our favorite moves across the NBA because it was a firework-filled Sunday night with tons of free agency moves. We're going to dive into that next. If you want to jump in the conversation, talk about the Wolves missing out on D'Angelo Russell and what's next for this franchise, call in number 651-646-8255. That's 651-646-8255. Raised by Wolves here on Score North and the all-new Score North app.
Minnesota sports, this is home. Score North. Minnesota sports. Anytime, anywhere. ScoreNorth.com.
All right, 16 minutes in front of 2 o'clock. Manny Hill here with you with the Score North download. And if you just missed it, we had a conversation here on Raised by Wolves with Jace Frederick of the Pioneer Press. And he was asked about what's next now for the Wolves since they've missed out on D'Angelo Russell. And Jace thinks that the Wolves might look... the roster might look fairly similar to the way it did last season.
Yeah, I think it's going to be now kind of like where the roster is maybe going to get tinkered with or blown up a little bit to make room for Russell. Had he signed here, then probably a little bit more likely to just kind of stay the course. And I think now the roster is probably going to look a little bit more similar to what we saw last year versus what it would have been had Russell decided to come aboard.
And that full conversation with Jace Frederick will be available on demand at ScoreNorth.com and the ScoreNorth mobile app very shortly after Raised by Wolves here. Danny Cunningham.
Yes, it will. Score North, 1500 AM, the all-new Score North app. This is Raised by Wolves, taking you up until 2 o'clock. Danny Cunningham, Manny Hill. You can get at us on Twitter, at RealDCunningham, at MannyHill84. Talking NBA free agency yesterday was one of the busiest days in the history of the NBA, as we saw.
A lot of money handed out.
We saw a lot of money given out, Manny. We saw some monster contracts signed or agreed upon. Sorry, they won't be signed until July 6th. We saw... the balance of power potentially changed in the NBA as Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving will be joining forces in Brooklyn. We saw old friend Jimmy Butler agree to a sign-in trade heading down south to Miami with the Heat. We saw Kemba Walker go to the Boston Celtics, D'Angelo Russell and the Golden State Warriors. Obviously, we've talked about that a bunch. That's going to continue to be a topic of discussion here on Score North for the foreseeable future. Tobias Harris signed a monster deal with Philadelphia to stay with the Sixers. 5 years, $180 million for Mr. Harris in Philadelphia. Al Horford jumping to Philadelphia from Boston. I think that that's a sneaky good move. And the Sixers are a team that, despite losing Jimmy Butler as part of that sign-in trade, I think that Philadelphia might be the Eastern Conference favorite right now. If Kawhi Leonard leaves Toronto, this is contingent on him joining the Lakers, because if Kawhi stays in Toronto, the Raptors are still the favorites to get back to the finals in the East. That's what I firmly believe. But if he leaves... I think it's Philadelphia is the favorite. And I know Milwaukee has probably the best player in the Eastern Conference if Kawhi is not there. And Giannis Antetokounmpo, who just won the MVP, just had a signature shoe released by Nike that really isn't very good.
I saw you. You weren't too thrilled it's about awful. Seeing that.
It looks terrible. It's just not a nice shoe. I'm sorry. I expected so much more out of Nike. I am a brand ambassador to an extent for Nike. It's all I wear. I've got 40 pairs of Nike sneakers, and that is just not one. That ain't it. That shoe ain't it. But I like what Philadelphia did because they've got Joel Embiid, who can't stop Giannis but can help slow him down. And now they've got Al Horford, who, like Embiid, can't stop Giannis but can help slow him down and is an incredibly mobile big man. And we saw, even if it was only in that one game that Boston won against Milwaukee in the first in the second round of the Eastern Conference semifinals this past April and May. We know what Al Horford can do defensively, and that Philadelphia team is going to be tough to beat in the playoffs.
They're going to be so good defensively, and with Al Horford, it's like Al Horford is not a lockdown rim protecting big man, but he's a very, very smart defender. Mm-hmm. He knows exactly where to be. He knows exactly how to position himself to make things difficult for the guy he's defending. He's an excellent help defender. It's really an outstanding fit for Philadelphia. And of course you get Tobias Harris back, albeit at a very high price. He still figures to be a huge part of what they're doing. And if this Jimmy Butler trade does actually get completed, they got Josh Richardson.
Their starting lineup is going to be humongous. The smallest player in the starting lineup for them is going to be a 6'6" Josh Richardson. They are going to be ginormous. Amazing. Joel Embiid 7'2", Al Horford 6'10", Tobias Harris is 6'9", Ben Simmons is 6'10". Like, they have the biggest starting five in basketball, and they're going to be really good. They don't necessarily have enough shooting, and losing J.J. Redick is certainly going to hurt them. They're going to need to find shooting somewhere. I know they re-signed Mike Scott yesterday, but they need to find more shooting at some point. But, man, that team is going to be dangerous.
What I'm curious to see now, too, is what the plan will be for a team like the Clippers. If the Clippers don't get Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah.
What are they going to do now? They've re-upped on Patrick Beverley. I think that was a good idea because I think he's a really good defender and he's a good shooter and all of that. But if they don't get Kawhi Leonard, what is plan B for the LA Clippers going to be? Because they'll still have some money to spend, and how will they spend that money? And right now, the free agent pool is not as lucrative as it was, 24 hours ago. So what will they be looking at plan B now?
Because plan A was pairing Kawhi Leonard and somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
There's nobody else left. It is Kawhi Leonard or bust. If you get Kawhi Leonard, what does that team look like? Is that team with Kawhi Leonard and no other star a team that can beat the Lakers, a team that can beat Utah or Houston or whoever else you want to throw out in the West? Because the West is going to be very good.
Mm-hmm.
Is that Clippers team going to be good enough? I realize that Kawhi Leonard, as constructed right now and as the NBA is right now, is probably the best player in the world. But is that going to be enough to get it done in a loaded Western Conference? And I have my questions about that. I don't know that just Kawhi Leonard and the rest of that Clippers team, who are very good and very young, but I don't know that that's enough to win the West or win the title next year.
I feel like it would be like a 52 or 53 win team that could probably get to like the second round. But depending on who they get matched up with, it might be very, very tough for them to get to a conference final or an NBA finals.
And if you're Kawhi Leonard, do you want that? Or if you're Kawhi Leonard, do you want to stay in Toronto and try and repeat with the Raptors and have an easier path to the finals? I realize the Bucks are still going to be good. The Philadelphia 76ers are going to be even better, but Boston's not going to be the same. Indiana should be pretty good,
mm-hmm.
but they're not really standing in your way if you were the Kawhi Leonard-led Toronto Raptors. I think that going back to Toronto might make the most sense for him at this point. I think it's either Toronto or the Lakers. If you want to win a title, if you want to not guarantee yourself a title, but the Lakers would be damn good if they have Kawhi Leonard, LeBron James, and Anthony Davis.
Three of the top five players on the planet.
That would be the most talented threesome that the NBA has ever seen. There would never be a big three better than that one in LA, ever, in the history of basketball.
100% agree.
It would be unbelievable. I don't know if he wants that either. I don't know if he wants to be that late addition to it. Maybe he wants his own team. Maybe that's the Clippers, and maybe I'm proven wrong. But right now, I think that Toronto kind of makes the most sense.
You know, it's amazing because he's already cemented a legacy in the city of Toronto and really like maybe the entire nation of Canada, winning an NBA title for that country's lone NBA franchise. But man, you go back there and you win another title.
Yeah.
That's legendary, man. That is legendary. I mean, he's already big time as far as, how you view him in that organization, regardless of what he does from here on out. But if you go back there and you repeat, you re-up with the same, you run it back with the same roster, that's taken the legacy he's already left there. It's taken it to a whole nother level. And that could be something that he might be interested in doing.
Or he could go to the Lakers and he could potentially be the first player in the history of the NBA to win three finals MVPs on three different teams. That could be something that, maybe that's something that he wants to add to his legacy, and maybe he doesn't want to, he doesn't want to look at, oh, maybe I've been on a bunch of teams. Like, maybe that doesn't matter to him. Maybe he wants to be able to just say, you know what? I did all of this because I was the best. I was able to do it in so many different places. For the sake of the league, I kind of do hope he stays in Toronto, because then I think that both the Eastern Conference and the Western Conference would be not equally wide open, because I think that there's more of a legitimate pecking order at the top of the East than there is the West. But I think both of them would be really, really fun. And all right, I want to close out the show today with some sound from the greatest entertainer that we have on this planet. And that man is Stephen A. Smith. Because no one is better than him, and he's also a well-known New York Knicks fan. The Knicks thought they were going to get Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving. Well, they struck out on both of them. Here's what Stephen A. Smith had to say on his radio show today on ESPN Radio.
I've already thrown up. I've already cried. I'm serious. I'm not joking. I have both cried and I have thrown up. And guess what? The bile, the toxic stuff inside of my body is still there.
I want to have a sponsored Stephen A. Smith minute on every show, because there is nothing better than playing Stephen A. Smith's sound. I know the Dan Le Batard show on ESPN Radio, they will cut in to their own show. They'll cut into First Take when he's off on a rant. And that is unbelievable.
Last night was fantastic. I mean, yes. Last night was the best because it was that real, like, raw, immediate reaction.
He looked on TV like he actually got done crying. Like, his eyes were all glassy. His eyes were a little puffy. It looked like Stephen A. Smith was crying.
And honestly, you know what? While I'm not shedding any tears for New York Knicks fans, I understand it. If you find out that one of the reasons why your team missed out on Kevin Durant is because the owner did not want to give him a max contract, like, I totally, you know what? You can rant and rave all you want about how that upsets you. I totally understand that.
Yeah.
Because that is absolutely asinine to not, to be hesitant or reluctant to give arguably the best player on the planet, albeit an Achilles injury, arguably the best player on the planet, you don't want to give him a max contract because of that injury. It's ridiculous.
Unbelievable.
And I totally understand why Stephen A. Smith would be upset. So I totally get it.
Manny Hill, that's the Knicks. That's James Dolan.
That is Knicks basketball.
That's where we're at, ladies and gentlemen. It was an exciting day. We were glad to be able to spend it with you last night here on Score North. If you want to find that, it's available Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you consume your listening. That's where you can find this edition of Raised by Wolves as well, as we wrap things up here. It was a blast to spend this afternoon with you. We will be back with you both tomorrow and Wednesday. I believe the plans are for Manny and I to be on Thursday and maybe Friday as well, as we get into the long holiday weekend. I'm Danny Cunningham. That's Manny Hill. Thanks for hanging out with us today. Be sure to download the all-new Score North app. You can get that on the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store. We'll talk to you tomorrow.